For our scripture reading this afternoon, let us turn to two places of scripture, first to Psalm 23 and then to Mark chapter 6. We turn first in the Word of God to Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our text is verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we hear echoes of that in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 31. And reading through to verse 44. Mark 6, starting at verse 31. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest awhile. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Dear congregation, there was once the children in the church who had to memorize, and one boy had to memorize Psalm 23, and he had to say it in front of the church. Sometimes you can know it so well, but when you come to say it in front of the church, then you get nervous. He also got nervous as he was standing there. And he began, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then he paused. And he said, And that's all I need to know. And that was the end. Did he say that just because that's a nice thing to say to cover up the fact that he failed to say the whole psalm? Sometimes we say nice things to cover up our failures. As children, also as adults. Or did he say that because he understood the song? The Lord can also teach children the meaning of this song. The Lord is also the good shepherd who has children as his sheep as well, who understand the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know to be blessed, to be saved for this life and forevermore. And that's something we hope for all the children here are listening, that you all would have him as your shepherd for all of us. Because we heard last time that there's nothing more blessed than to have him as your shepherd. Remember that contrast? That sheep all on its own, that stubborn sheep on the hills there in the wilderness, a sheep which was bound to die. What a contrast, a sheep under the care of the good shepherd. Dreadful picture to go through life without the shepherd. Blessed picture to be a sheep of this blessed shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's all I need to know. And yet we can be thankful, congregation, that the Lord didn't end the psalm there, even though in that first verse you do have everything, but that he expounds further what a blessing it is to have him as a shepherd in the verses that follow, where he details, as it were, the different aspects of what makes it so blessed to have him as a shepherd, what he does as a shepherd. And so we come to the first a specific thing that he does as a shepherd in this second verse. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And let us listen then to this verse under the theme, my shepherd gives satisfied rest. My shepherd gives satisfied rest. First, his food. Second, his feeding. And third, his rest. My shepherd gives satisfied rest, his food, his feeding, his rest. Do you see that shepherd? That shepherd is standing there, and all the sheep are laying down. Is that because they're just so tired they can't go any further? Are they there in that barren, dry wilderness? They've run out of energy. They've run out of anything to eat or drink. And they're just too tired and they're laying down. Is that how it is with these sheep? Not at all. These sheep are lying down in a pasture. And not just a pasture that has a tuft of grass here and there, but green pastures. Filled with grass. And not just thin grass, but rich green grass. Fresh, nutritious. Just what a sheep could want. He's there lying in green pastures. Now look again. You notice the pasture is right by a wide, gently flowing stream. There's plenty of water here for all the sheep to drink, and none of them need to fear if the one drinks, there won't be enough for the other. No, there's lots of water. And these are still waters, quiet waters, literally waters of rest. And that's what sheep want. There was a shepherd who later became a minister in Scotland, Douglas Macmillan, and he wrote a book on this Psalm 23. And he said, when he was a shepherd, he used to have to bring his sheep from one pasture to another, and it was a fair distance. And as they went, they had to cross through two streams. The one was often a rushing stream. And he said, even when the sheep were very thirsty and their tongues were hanging out, they would not stop and drink at that rushing stream. They would only drink at that quiet stream. And you see the care of the shepherd, that he is there by a quiet stream from which they may drink. Beautiful. What a spot. Then we see that shepherd call to his sheep, and they get up, and he begins to lead them. Where is he going to lead them? Do they have to leave this place? Do they have to go away from this pasture and away from this water? Notice it says he leads them beside the still waters, along the still waters. They may go in that, along that place where there's water, and where that water also waters the pastures, there is green pastures. What a care the shepherd has for the sheep. And when we think of this scene, I could almost see it taking place on the pasture at the end of the road here with Pleasant Valley. There's that stream there, and there's those green pastures. And we could go somewhere else on Maple Dell. There's also those pastures there and a stream and all lots of places around our area. There's pastures and there's streams. But in Israel, that wasn't at all common to have such pastures and such streams or such bodies of water. Especially in the area of Bethlehem, where David would have been a shepherd as he grew up, it was not so rich in terms of pasture land. Still today, if you look at a Google satellite of the area around Bethlehem, you'll see how brown it is. This was something so special. Not a common thing at all. What is the Lord showing us in this picture? The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What is this about, these waters and these pastures which are so abundant? What would that be to you, for you in your life, to be able to lie down in green pastures satisfied? Maybe someone can think, if I think of that, me being in a place where I can just rest, content, have all I need, be different than how it is now, then I wouldn't have any debt anymore, and I wouldn't have any worries about having enough anymore. I would have a steady stream of income. I would have enough to feed on life. I'd be able to just rest and not worry, all the financial worries that I have. Is that what this is about? You think of how the Lord Jesus speaks of a man who said, my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought, all my riches I now have, and I can just sit down like a contented sheep in those pastures of my riches and enjoy life. And what did the Lord say, thou fool? He died that night. The pastures that the Lord gives are greater than riches, because riches are fleeting and riches are poor food for our souls. Riches cannot satisfy our souls, no matter how great they are. Look at the richest people in the world. Why do some of them commit suicide? Because riches are not the green pastures or something greater. Others may think, if I want to picture myself as a sheep in rich pastures, content, having all I need, then you can think, if only I didn't have all these health problems that I have and this pain and this suffering, and if my life could just be free from suffering, then I would be like a sheep in green pastures that can lay down at ease without pain. But again, How many people have health and have strength, and yet their lives are not of a sheep in green pastures. They're discontent, and they're restless, because health physically cannot feed our souls spiritually. Others may think of pastures as, you know, what will give enjoyment? What can I feed on? What can I? And they think of the pastures of sin. And they are upset that there's a fence of God around those pastures that says, don't go in there. And they try to, like a sheep, wiggle under the fence and get into those pastures because they think the pleasures of sin, that will make life enjoyable. Well, if I could just do whatever I wanted, then I would be like a sheep in a pasture that's green and I could just enjoy life and the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin are poisoned and they're bitter and they will never enable you to rest content in them. We can go on about all kinds of pastures, but all the pastures we can imagine like that are poor, have no food for our souls. What is a pasture that God provides as a shepherd? It's a pasture that gives food for our soul. It's a pasture that we can only be led to by this good shepherd. It's the pasture we can only be fed in by this good shepherd, and that's a pasture for our soul. We see that in Mark 6 that we read. There Mark records how the Lord Jesus once came across the water with his disciples and he saw the crowds waiting on the shore. And then we read that he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to do what? To teach them many things. He saw them as wandering about, having no food for their souls, because they had no shepherd to care for them. And so as that good shepherd, he began to teach them many things. There he was giving that food. And then we read that after it got late, and he had those 5 loaves and 2 fish, then we read that he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And you say, why does the Word of God give attention to that one little detail, green grass? What does that matter? Is it not a link back to green pastures? Here is now the shepherd in the green pastures, and they sit down on that green grass, and he multiplies the loaves, and he supplies in their need. Is it just about the loaves for their body? Remember how the next day he has gone across the sea and they come again. And in John 6 it records that he says, you've come to me because of the loaves, but labor not for the meat that perishes, but labor for the meat that endures to everlasting life. In other words, he says, come to me as that good shepherd, not just for food for your bodies, but come to me for food for your souls, that food that endures to everlasting life. Christ is saying, I am the good shepherd who has that food for your soul. Come. Receive it from me. Where do you find that food for your soul? Is it not in the Word of God? The Word of God is filled with food for your soul. It's filled with everything you need spiritually. You don't have to go far to find the pasture. The pasture is right here in the Bible. There's the green grass. There's the quiet waters. There's the grace. There's everything you need in order for you to be able to lie down in rest and satisfaction. It's there. We think of all kinds of things far off, beyond our reach. There it is. This is all we need. It's in the Word of God. Here is soul-satisfying food for one who senses that all the riches in the world cannot satisfy. All the things that are advertised, have this and you'll be happy. And you've come to realize no matter how much I have of this world, I will not be happy. Here is what will satisfy. Here is a provision for one who senses the brokenness of his own cisterns and the muddiness of this world's pools of pleasure. Here is clear and fresh water of life in the Word of God. Here is the provision for someone who realizes that you cannot live and you cannot simply feed on what other people think of others and the approval of others and the love of others and the opinion of others and the favor of others, that you need the favor of one greater, of God Himself. Here in the Word of God is where you find it. Who hungers for pardon? What young person, what older one has things in the past that plague you, and you know I need pardon? What one among us realizes I have a corrupt existence and I need pardon? Where will you find it? But in the Word of God, there it is, pardon. To feed your troubled soul. Who here hungers after righteousness? You have no righteousness of your own. You're all unrighteousness. Here is a righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, a righteousness to cover all your unrighteousness, and a righteousness for Him to also teach you and lead you in by His Holy Spirit. Who here is weak and who hungers after strength? Where will you get that strength? But from the Word of God. Here is the strength of God. Here is the power of Christ. It's in the Word of God. Who hungers after wisdom? Here is the wisdom of God. So full, so perfect. It's there. There is the food for those who hunger after wisdom. Who hungers after God Himself. Oh, give me God. Oh, let me have Him. Let me know Him. Let me see Him. Let me live with Him. Here, God makes Himself known. Here, God feeds with Himself. The Word are the green pastures. It's through the Word that He feeds. Oh, my friend, has the Word become green pastures to you? So precious, so valuable. If you close the Word and put it aside, you have no food for your soul. But with that Word, you have food. Has the Word become as these green pastures? It is. It is. He comes, He, as it were, can I say, leads you to those pastures. As you open that Word, as you come into His house, do you also feed upon it? That's our second point. My shepherd provides satisfied rest. It's not only about food, but feeding. Striking that it doesn't just say He leads me beside green pastures or He leads me through green pastures, but He makes me lie down in green pastures. And when will a sheep lie down in green pastures? It's when he's eaten of those pastures. And when he's had enough. And then he lays down. He's satisfied. So what the Lord is saying here is, I lead my sheep to the pastures, I provide food for my sheep, but I also enable them to feed on those pastures I provide and be satisfied. Isn't that beautiful? The text is saying the Lord's sheep feed on those pastures he provides. And maybe that's exactly what you struggle with. You know that food is there. You say, how to feed on it? I know that all I need is there. But how to feed on it? To receive it, to enjoy it, to share in it, to benefit from it. You read your Bible. You know the Bible is precious, and yet you read it, and it can seem like just words on a page, not food for your soul. It can be a struggle for someone who has never really fed on the Word of God. It can also be a struggle of one who has fed on it in the past, and it's become so cold. That can discourage. But look at these sheep again who are feeding. Why are they feeding? Is it because they are better sheep than other sheep? Is it because they're smarter sheep than other sheep? Is it because they are wiser than other sheep? Why are these sheep feeding? Is this not the grace of the shepherd, who's greater than any earthly shepherd? An earthly shepherd can bring sheep to pasture, but then they've done their job. But this heavenly shepherd is greater yet. He not only brings to the pasture, but he enables to feed on that pasture those who of themselves would never feed. He makes me lie down. He enables me to benefit from the Word of God. He does so by his Holy Spirit. So dependent on his Spirit. But that's the delight of his Spirit, to enable to feed and to benefit from the Word of God. Now I may be shifting the picture a little bit, but you think of how more often the Holy Spirit is compared to water. Streams of water. The Lord Jesus said, for example, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of him will flow streams of water. And then it goes on to say, this spake he of the Holy Spirit that he should give. And now think of this, the pasture and the water. If I go back to that shepherd who became a minister, he said once, he had his flock, and a lobster fisherman came to him and said, I was out in my boat, and I looked up, and I saw a sheep there on a ledge. There were ledges along the water's edge on a cliff that went down hundreds of feet. And on those ledges, there was grass. And so that sheep must have gotten down on a ledge, but it could not get back up to the pasture. And so the shepherd went with his brother to that ledge, and they managed to get that sheep off the ledge. And when they looked at that ledge, it was eaten down to the roots, and so that sheep must have been there for several days. And they got him off, and they thought, everything's well. Then after a couple days, the sheep died. They wondered, what's the matter? And when they opened up his stomach, they found a big ball of dry grass. It had no water. No water to enable it to benefit from that grass. You get the picture? Sometimes we can have the Word, and the Word is nutritious, can I say? But without the Holy Spirit and the water of the Holy Spirit, that word can be like a ball of dry teachings that do not benefit us. The problem's not the word, of course, but ourselves. That we just have this ball of undigestible truth in our mind. That's why we so need his Holy Spirit, in order to benefit and to feed on that word time and again. It's a spirit who enables to feed. And you think of what does that involve? To feed spiritually on the word of God. When we think of feeding, maybe the first thing we think of is tasting. When children come in in the afternoon and they ask, what's for supper? They don't think, first of all, what is the nutritional value of what we're going to eat? No, they wonder, what's it going to taste like? When we think of eating, we think of tasting what we are eating. What is it to feed on the Word of God? Then you taste what the Word of God is like. You taste it. How do you describe that? That it's no longer just words to you, but they're realities. You know, you can study and describe what chocolate is like, but when you taste it, then you know. You can tell someone else what a salty licorice is like, but when you taste it, then you know. And so it is with the Word of God. We can hear many things, and they can just float about in our brains. But when the Lord feeds with his Word, you begin to taste that Word of God, the reality of it, what it's truly saying and what it's really like. Then John, in the book of Revelation, had to eat that book that he received, and he said in his belly it was bitter. You may taste the bitterness of the Word of God as it speaks about the bitterness of sin and the bitterness of the smoke of the wrath of God, that you taste the bitterness of it. You experience what that is. So the sweetness of the Word of God. The psalmist said, didn't he? How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. To taste the sweetness of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality that he's a God of grace, and that not only for others, but also for a sinner like me. There is nothing sweeter to a soul than to taste the grace of God. Especially when you've tasted the bitterness of sin. It's the Holy Spirit who enables you to taste. Remember what I quoted from Luther about the Epistle to the Romans, how he said it's the purest gospel. It can never be read or pondered too much. And the more it is dealt with, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes, Luther said. So he was feeding on that word of God, tasting it. The second element of feeding is not only tasting, but also benefiting from the word of God. We eat in order to be nourished. If we only tasted with our taste buds, we'd be left hungry and we would die of malnutrition. We need food in order to give us life, to benefit us. And so the word of God is given to benefit. It's to be as food for the soul. When the shepherd feeds you with his word, then it isn't just about an experience. It's richer yet. It's to benefit from the word so that what fills the word begins to fill you because the word enters into your heart. Spurgeon said of John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, He had read the Bible till his very soul was saturated with Scripture. And he said, "You cannot read Pilgrim's Progress without thinking, this man is a living Bible. Prick him anywhere and his blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him." Feeding on the Word of God makes the Word of God part of you, affect you, affect everything. He feeds in pastures of his Word by his Spirit so that his Word would affect your being and fill you with what fills the Word. And what fills the Word, isn't it? The glory of God. To feed on the Word of God is that the glory of God begins to fill your heart, that you begin to see something of the greatness of God, how unsearchably glorious God is, how bright and brilliant his holiness is, how unspeakable his might is, how great his grace is. You begin to see something, realize that life isn't about you and about your own little pursuits and about your own honor and what people think about you, but as that Word of God fills you, you realize that it's about him. And as he feeds with that Word of God and he becomes greater, then that reverence for God is born and that humility before God increases, because through feeding on the Word, God becomes great. As a shepherd, when he feeds you, he also fills you with his grace. That Word is full of the grace of God in Christ. Feeding with that Word is to be fed with saving grace. Because that Word is, at the heart of that Word is the Word made flesh, is Christ himself. He is that bread come down from heaven, and to feed on the Word is to feed on Christ. For Christ to become more and more essential to you, precious to you, suitable to you, sufficient for you, all for you. To feed on his Word is that you come to say more and more, he must increase and I must decrease. Oh, I count all but loss and dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's feeding on the Word. As a shepherd, when he feeds, he also fills you with life. The Word is a word of life. The words that Christ speaks, they are spirit and they are life, it says. The Word is a word of Christ, who is the life. And as he feeds with that Word, he feeds in that spiritual life that he has worked. That life of repentance, that life of faith, that life of the fruit of the Spirit of God, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, meekness and kindness and goodness and temperance, all those things. He feeds that spiritual life with his Word. My shepherd feeds me. That's when the Word of God becomes so rich. Then Jeremiah can say in Jeremiah 15, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy Word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." As this great shepherd, how can you know you're a sheep of the great shepherd? One of the ways is that he feeds you through his Word, to taste it, and that it affects your very heart with what fills it. And if he has been feeding you with his Word, is that not to be traced to him? He does this as the shepherd. That's the only thing that makes me differ from another who stands in that pasture and has never had a bite of that food for himself. He feeds. Isn't that something to fill you with amazement, to fill you with gratitude to God, if he feeds you through his word and by his spirit? And is that not also something to then give you expectation? He's the one who feeds and continues to feed, and he never grows weary of feeding his sheep, and he will never come to the point where he says, I fed you for so long, now you fend for yourself. No, he will continue to feed his sheep their lives long until he takes them to glory. Isn't that such an encouragement? As you open the word of God in your home and all alone, and you read that word of God, the shepherd is bringing me to the pastures. Will he not feed me there? Is that not also the encouragement as you come to the house of God? The shepherd is bringing me to the house of God, to the pastures of his word. Will he not also feed me in those pastures? It's not about people. It's not about a minister. It's about the shepherd himself who brings me in order to feed me from his word. That's the great encouragement. That's the great reason to come with expectation in this shepherd who knows what I need, who knows what I need to receive from the word of God. He doesn't bring his sheep to the pastures with a muzzle and say, you may look at this grass, but you may not eat of it. No, he brings to the pastures in order to feed. And he has his own ways of stirring up that hunger and satisfying that hunger. And he has many ways of bringing that word to you through a song and through the reading of his word and through a conversation with another and through listening and through coming to church and through reading a good book. But in all these ways, he comes to feed. If you do not feel like a sheep feeding in the green pastures at this time, isn't it reason to ask, what is the cause? The lack can't be in the shepherd, can it? The lack can't be in the food, can it? The lack must be in me. As a sheep, as a person. It's a reason to ask, isn't it, if we're not feeding on the word of God, am I trying to feed on other things? The things of this earth. Am I subtly being caught up in filling my life with so many things that the word of God is getting crowded out of my life? Other things becoming more important to me than God. No wonder my not being fed is sin. Something that I am trying to feed on. Sin, in whatever way it be, chokes all hunger for the word of God. If we're trying to feed on sin, it's no wonder the word is not food for our soul. If we've been neglecting the word, not busy with the means of grace, and when we have our spare moments, we fill it with other things rather than thoughts of God, is it no wonder then we're not being fed? It's always reason, isn't it? To say, what is the cause if I'm not being fed? And when you see so much reason in you and you have to humble yourself and you have to confess, the problem is me. Is that not reason to turn to him again? Confessing your utter dependence on him to again feed you, to again stir up that hunger for him and to be fed by him. Will he not do so again? It's a question also for those who may hear about feeding, but you don't even know what that is, to feed on the Word of God. You come to church because that's what you do. You read the Bible at home, maybe that's what you're to do. Or maybe you neglect it and it's there beside your bed, but you don't bother to read it for yourself because you've never fed on that Word of God. It doesn't mean much to you. Why is that? What then are you feeding your life with? What then are you seeking your satisfaction in? If you're not feeding on the Word of God, what then are you feeding your ears with? What's pumping into your brain through those earbuds? Is it what glorifies God, or is it things that deaden any desire for what God gives in His Word? What are you feeding your eyes with? Is it what gives you thoughts of God, or is it what stirs up thoughts of lust or violence or whatever else? If we're not feeding on the Word, what are we feeding on? To feed on anything else is death. This is life. To be fed by Him is to be fed with life. Isn't that reason then to cry out to this shepherd, "Oh, be my shepherd. Deliver me from this insane trying to feed myself with anything else. Give me life that feeds on the words." There's nothing more blessed. Because that gives rest. Our final point. My shepherd gives satisfied rest. He makes me not just feed, but lie down in green pastures. What a rest. Isaiah says, "The wicked are as a troubled sea that cannot rest." No matter how healthy and wealthy and popular they are, they cannot rest. There's still the sting of conscience. There's still the fear of losing what you have. There's still the regrets. There's still those unsatisfied desires that keep from rest apart from the shepherd. But when the shepherd feeds, it's unto rest, true rest. Feeding on the Word, there's rest for your conscience. That restless conscience that keeps speaking, that keeps accusing because of what you are and because of what you do. How to have a conscience that is at rest, that is at peace. It's as you feed on that Word of God, that Word which speaks of Christ and His blood and His righteousness, which is more than enough to silence all the accusations of conscience and give peace with God. That is what gives rest. Then as a sheep, you can rest. Not because you're not so bad after all, but because He is so great as a Savior. Rest on the sacrifice of Christ. Feeding on the Word of God gives rest also to a weary mind that tries to puzzle everything out and is never sure what sleepless hours there can be as you wonder about so many things and worry about so many things. Where is the rest? Feeding on the Word of God as He ministers that grace of His Word to your heart, rest comes because you realize it's not about you. There you learn, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's many things I don't understand. There's many things I don't know. There's many things that could puzzle me, but I don't have to puzzle them out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Rest in Him, the shepherd. When He feeds with His Word, it stirs a rest of everything on Him. Because there you learn your cares are not your own. They're the cares of the shepherd. He will care for you. feeding on his word. There's rest for a troubled conscience. There's rest for a troubled mind. There's rest also in the midst of all the spiritual fears there can be because of your own weakness and your own foolishness and your own waywardness and your own sinfulness. Because he assures those streams are there, those streams to refresh, the streams of his spirit, and he will never let you go away and perish, but he will remain with you with his Holy Spirit to enable you to do what you cannot do of yourself. He will be with you. His Spirit will not just be as a stream alongside you, but his Spirit will be within you as that water to continue to keep you in life spiritually and to revive and refresh you time and again. Then there can be rest. The spiritual life is not about all the things that I do for him, but a dependence on him and his unfailing spirit to continue with a one like me. Rest. Rest ultimately in the shepherd himself. He makes me lie down in green pastures because he is there. What's the greatest rest? Knowing he's there as the shepherd, watching over me, caring for me, providing for me. Then David, even when he was in the midst of his enemies and his friends who were with him, maybe during the persecution of Saul, were saying, "Who will show us any good?" Then David could say, "Boys, I'm going to sleep. Psalm 4, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." Rest, because he's my shepherd. He will be with me. Rest in him as the shepherd. For our hearts are restless, Augustine said already, didn't he? Until they find their rest in thee. I have him, and having him, I have all. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's as you feed on the word of God, as he feeds your soul with his word by his spirit, you learn more and more. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that is all I need to know to rest. Amen.